Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here we go, JV. Hooray! 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 They're gonna beat the Bengals! Hooray! 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 They're gonna beat the Bengals! No!
We Like the Bengals starts now.
And welcome back to Fuck You, We Like the Bengals. I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Lloyd Johnson had a little bit of an accident. He's in the hospital right now. We'll get to that next episode. But sitting in is a very, very special guest. Introduce yourself, man.
Yes, I'm Malik Wright, CEO of the Right Way Sports Network, Bengals official gift king.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on, man. I know you've been you're like the Bengals Adam Schefter a little bit. Like, Bengals fans are kind of glued to your Twitter a little bit.
Yeah.
And Goodberry and Rapine.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate you having me on, Alex.
Yeah, thank you, man. So Thomas, like, you got started. How'd you get started in, like, sports reporting and, like, going to the Bengals and stuff? Like, what made you want to become, like, a Bengals reporter and a beat writer, basically?
So the funny thing is, I'll tell you right now, I'm not even a Bengals, beat reporter or even a writer, for instance. I'm just a guy who runs his own sports news media company who happens to be a Bengals fan. That's literally what I consider myself, right? I have a team of over 50 people, writers, content creators, and things of that nature. A lot of talented writers and content creators that I have on my team. But I launched the Right Way Sports Network back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work for another company called Back Sports Page. In Fairfield, New Jersey, I wanted to branch off on my own, do something a little different. I wanted to, tackle more national sports. So that's what we did with the Right Way Sports Network. And along the way, I've made some awesome connections with a lot of people in and outside of that building and across other teams as well.
That's awesome. And I just saw today that, like, a couple of the people that work for your company, they're going to be going to Cleveland.
Yeah, we got Jake Circus, actually. It was supposed to be one of my other guys, but due to some COVID restrictions, the NFL is only allowing one person per media team right now.
Okay.
Yeah, Jake Circus, a guy who does tremendous work here at TWSN. He'll be, covering the NFL draft live in Cleveland. I'm excited for him. It's an awesome opportunity.
It's so much fun. Like, because my friend Danny has repeatedly said, this is going to be an all-time draft as far as ratings and intrigue and honestly, also player potential, because there's the players at the top. It seems like every player is getting hyped up to, like, a different level. Like, with five of the Bengals, we'll get this a little bit. There are three possibilities, and you really can't go wrong with any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly think that this is one of those drafts where I think people are so sports craved and so NFL draft craved, right? This is a crazy time. Everybody's coming out with their mock drafts and things of that nature. I think some people are hyping prospects up a little bit too much personally.
Yes.
But I think certain prospects are also getting properly rated. And some I think aren't being talked about enough. I don't think Penei Sewell is being given the respect he deserves. Like, when I look at it and I do my own film analysis and review, I think Penei Sewell, for instance, is the best offensive lineman in this draft. He's the best offensive line prospect that I've ever seen. Personally.
He is so for a long time, actually since January, he's been the player that I've preferred over – No, it's not, again, it's not a knock on Chase. It's not a knock on Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's due to Burrow's knee PTSD. That's kind of why I've been Penei Sewell, pro Penei Sewell since January. And then again, not a knock on Jamar, not a knock on Kyle Pitts. It's just where I've been for the past, honestly, since the end of last season.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't blame you at all. I mean, I think I was there as well. And I've, I put out a tweet today. I said, listen, don't mistake who I say the Bengals, who I report who the Bengals are going to pick with the fifth overall pick, for who I personally love. I still love Penei Sewell. Penei Sewell is still my favorite player in this draft. He's a guy who I've been salivating over for so long because I think he can do wonders for an offensive line. And whoever lands him, Detroit, they're going to be in for having a hell of a player, a true anchor on that offensive line.
You think Detroit's going Sewell?
Yeah, I think that's Detroit. Detroit's dream scenario is landing Penei Sewell. Penei Sewell lands on that Detroit offensive line, does wonders.
I was thinking they were going to go wide receiver because they lost Galladay, and I think they lost Marvin Jones too. So they're very depleted right now.
Yeah, no, they certainly are. But I see them going Penei Sewell because he completes their offensive line. They'll have that true anchor at left tackle. I certainly think that, you know, you could look at them going grabbing a receiver, but also this is – I won't say this is a deep receiver draft class in terms of – you got your top guys like Jalen Waddle, Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, Devontae Smith, so on and so forth. But I just think that for what the Lions are trying to do and what the Lions are going to do, I think that Penei Sewell was the perfect pick. And from people that I've talked to with the Detroit Lions, they are hoping, they're praying that he's there. He would be their dream home run scenario.
Yeah, I mean, you really – like, Detroit really can't go wrong because they just got – honestly, my opinion, they kind of downgraded from Stafford to Goff. Yeah. So, and they need to keep him upright to, like, do you think they're going to make any more free agency signings? Did they make any free agency wide receiver signings?
I don't know if they did. I don't think that they did, actually. But I don't see the Detroit Lions. Maybe they can add somebody. Maybe they can add somebody later down the stretch if the draft doesn't pan out the way they want it to. But once again, the draft is a crapshoot, right? So you never know how it's going to pan out. You never know who's going to land in your lap. So.
Yeah, it's Detroit's advantage right now is draft capital, because with the Stafford trade, they got two first rounders from St. Louis in addition to a seventh overall pick this year. So if they draft Sewell, their foundation is going to be set for probably 10 years.
Right. I agree. And I think Penei Sewell is an obvious pick. You don't let a prospect like Penei Sewell get to you and you not draft him, right, unless you are a team that can afford to pass up on him, because you know it's a deep draft class. You know that somebody's going to be sitting there at, you know, your second overall pick, or if you have another first overall pick. That's the only way you pass up on Penei Sewell, because let me tell you something. I've said it. If Ja'Marr Chase was not in this draft, Penei Sewell would 100% be the NFL, be the Bengals pick.
100%. Even with Pitts?
Yes, even with Pitts.
I was just thinking about this like a little bit ago. That's how good of a position the Bengals are in right now. They are saying they don't need maybe the best tight end prospect of the past 10, 15 years. They're saying we're good on the second guy on Mel's big board.
Yeah, I mean, I think also it's a comfort level with guys like C.J. Uzama. And I mean, people might look at it like, what? Like, you know, it's a comfort level with C.J. Uzama. You also have to look at – you have to factor into how much a tight end is actually factored into the Bengals Bengals offense, right? It's a luxury position. I think that's what people understand. When you're picking at five, you want a game changer. You want somebody who's going to absolutely break the game open. And let me tell you something, the spot that the Bengals are sitting in right now, they have the opportunity to get the best non-quarterback in the draft, right? They have the opportunity to get the
whether it's Chase, Pitts, or Sewell.
Whether it's I'll say we could say that, but
yes.
I certainly think it's going to come down to it's Chase, in my opinion. And
I think
hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts, and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
The likely thickest chase.
Yeah, so I just think that it's hard to pass upon a guy like that, but had trades not gone down the way they went down, certainly you could see a scenario where Penei Sewell lands in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this too, where Chase was the Biletnikoff winner on a team that had the best rookie receiver in the 2020 class. That really says something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people also are forgetting, because he sat out last year, Ja'Marr Chase was the number one receiver on his team at LSU. Now, you let Joe Burrow tell the story, they'll say, oh, no, we didn't have a number one. We just passed the open guy. No, Ja'Marr Chase was always taking on the opposing team's number one defensive back. So, like, I think that when you look at it and you see the numbers that he put up with Joe Burrow in that LSU offense, where everybody was getting their opportunities, right? If you look at what Devontae Smith did this year, right, and you look at what Ja'Marr Chase did last year, I think that they're very similar, but I also don't think that Ja'Marr Chase necessarily – I think Ja'Marr Chase went up against tougher competition, and it was a lot harder for him to get his touches in an offense that was so star-studded.
Sante Samuel, like, he was going up against too?
He was going up against everybody. CJ Henderson, I mean, everybody that you could think of, he was going up against the best of the best.
He was just blowing them all out of the water. And with the 2019, like, with him opting out of 2020, it was just an extended offseason for him. He's using that time to get bigger, stronger, faster. Like, 23 reps at his pro day, that's not normal, especially for a wide receiver. I think Sewell only had, like, 6 or 7 more than that.
Yeah, I think people thought that – I mean, I don't know what people thought. I think people thought that maybe – they were going to get the same Ja'Marr Chase, you know, that they saw when the kid was 19 years old. What did you guys think he was doing? Did you think he was sitting down, you know, playing video games throughout
None
the entire
of the
year?
Players
no.
were.
Right. He was working on his craft, getting better. He got stronger, faster, posted unreal numbers at his pro day, ran a fast 40 time. That was one of the knocks on him, you know. So I'm head over heels for the guy. I think that he's going to do tremendous for our football team, the Cincinnati Bengals, and
it would be fantastic
for him. And he's one of those guys where it doesn't matter where he lands, if he didn't land in Cincinnati, if he landed somewhere else, I think he would easily make his mark.
Yeah, easily. And I'm thinking, like, with the Dolphins at 6, I think the Dolphins are going to take who the Bengals don't take, whether it's between. I wouldn't be surprised if they go Sewell, especially with the failed Isaiah Wilson experiment.
Yeah, you know, it's weird, right? I think if the Dolphins were – I don't see them going Sewell, only because I think that if they were going to go Sewell, they would have just stayed put. They would have just stayed put to where it is. Now you give yourselves a bigger risk. I think the Dolphins' entire plan was obviously to accumulate picks, but I also think that there was an opportunity for them to grab a pass catcher, whether that be a Kyle Pitts, whether that be a Ja'Marr Chase, whether that be a Devontae, whether that be a Jalen Waddle. There was somebody that the Dolphins knew was going to land them. Penei Sewell's not too guaranteed. I wouldn't have played with – I don't think that they were playing with fire with the hopes of landing Penei Sewell, because if they were set on Penei Sewell, I think they would have stayed put and just drafted him.
Yeah. God, the position there – what happened with the – like, because they got the third overall – they got a first-round pick from the Texans for Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
And then that ended up being a third overall pick. So basically, they got like a shit ton of first round picks.
Yeah.
For a pretty good offensive lineman.
Yeah, absolutely. They lucked out. They lucked out, and it sucks, right? Because you're looking at it, it's like, damn, this could have been the year for the Texans. Could have really did something.
And now that it's like it was a complete 180. They could have traded Deshaun Watson, and then he got in trouble. He could be out of the league for a little bit.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see how that whole situation shakes out. You hate to see a player you know, involved in that kind of stuff. So I wish the best for, you know, the victims and for Deshaun if he's not guilty in the situation.
Yeah, it's such a tough situation, especially for because, like, how do you deal with it? Like, you gotta honestly, you have to do due process. You have to, like, thoroughly investigate it. I mean, you have probably, what, 5 months to do so?
Only thing I'll say is that I'm a firm believer that everybody deserves their due day in court.
Yep.
I believe that wholeheartedly. It's just an unfortunate situation, but it's also alarming to see that many women come out, you know, with similar accusations. So like, you know, I just hope that we get the truth in the
yes. end. I think it'll come out eventually. I think, I kind of joke because, 20, I think he had like what, 21 lawsuits or something like that. Around 21 lawsuits, but then 18.
Yeah,
he was perfectly professional, which begs the totally different question: who has 39 masseuses?
Exactly, and it's the same question. I'm kind of like a friend of mine had posted me. He's like, "Hey, how? Let's look at your barbers, for instance. How many barbers do you go to?" And I said, "Wow, that's I never thought about." And he's like, "Do you have one barber? Do you have 25?" I said, "I have one barber." He said, "Exactly. What's wrong with that one barber? Like, what's wrong with all these masseuses that he keeps switching masseuses? What's going on?" So
it might be due to the fact that he's on the road all the time and he's going to like completely different cities and he can afford different masseuses, but that's all beside the point. So my co-host and I have been talking about the fact that the intrigue at the draft starts with four, and it came out today on, I think, Shefty's Twitter that the Falcons could trade Julio Jones.
Yeah, I think that Julio Jones is a guy that's always thrown around in trade talks. People, never with the Falcons, but more so people are always inquiring with the Falcons, with seeing on his availability and things of that nature.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he does get traded, it will be after June 1st, which would have virtually no effect on this draft. And I'd like to think that if the Falcons are going to trade Julio Jones, they would want some immediate return on investment.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, trading a guy and not getting anything or having to wait an entire year to see who they might get. So I don't see a scenario in which that affects anything that happens at four. I know that that's the narrative going around right there. But, I mean, guys, listen, Julio Jones is involved in trade talks every year where other teams, opposing teams, it was the Patriots for a long time, are making calls and calls and calls to the Atlanta Falcons, seeing if they'll come up off of Julio Jones. I just don't see it at this point.
Yeah, because their receiver corps, now they're like, I mean, the corpse of Edelman retired. And now it's just like a not a lot of receivers on that team with, like, I mean, Myers is fine, but then Demir Byrd, and then, well, they got Aguilar, and they got Aguilar and one other person. I forget who the other one was.
I don't know their receiving corps right now, but I know that they added some pretty good pass catchers in Hunter Henry and
Johnny Smith.
Yeah, Johnny Smith, yeah. So it's going to be exciting for – see if Cam can return to form.
Yes, because I think he didn't have a training camp last year. And then there were times where it just looked like Cam Newton just did not know how to throw a football. Mm-hmm. It was like his throwing motion looked fucked. And it was
a whole 9 yards. He didn't look like himself.
No, it wasn't the Cam Newton of old that was just like running around the field and being the best athlete in the NFL.
Right. So you want to see him return to that. Hopefully we see it, though. We'll see.
Yeah, I think we'll see it. Actually, I need to take a quick time out. I need to get my computer charger. It'll take like probably 10 seconds. While Alex looks for his laptop like the dumbass he is, we're going to take time to thank one of our longest sponsors, Bet Online. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline.ag has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place to be for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline. And if you also want to bring home the game, what you could do, a little fun thing, you could join the Locker Room. That's a fun little thing we do. It is a live, audio-only sports talk platform. You're going to see me on there next week. You're going to see our friends Danny and Tyler on this Thursday. We might be live streaming the first round of the draft. Stay fucking tuned. It's free to download and use. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates,
post-game breakdowns and reacting to breaking news. Breaking news, man! You can share your own experiences on the app. It's a, again, you can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, and react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. I will be hosting a live room. I'm going to try to this Thursday for the first round of the NFL draft with my friend Danny Samet. I cannot wait to do that. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join our group. Follow me at FUWLT Bengals to be notified when my room goes live. We will be going live at 8 p.m. for the first round of the NFL draft. Stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of fun. We might do Molly. Who knows? But again, stay tuned. It's going to be the shit. And let's get back to the sode.
So we'll talk the I think we've already talked the Falcons at four. There, I think the possibilities are honestly kind of endless because I saw the San Francisco at three is looking between Mac Jones and Trey Lance. And a lot of Falcons fans, my buddy Danny's a big Falcons fan. He likes Fields a lot. So I think the Falcons have more of a debate. Falcons fans have more of a debate, or the Falcons themselves have more of a debate than the Bengals do. Because they're debating between a quarterback, maybe Kyle Pitts, maybe Sewell, who knows?
Yeah, I think that I don't know what they're going to do, to be quite honest with you. But every single time I analyze it, I just keep coming back to the fact that Justin Fields, he's a hometown boy. You know, you got an aging quarterback in Matt Ryan, who's like, what, 37 years old, 2 years left on the field.
Drafted third overall 2008.
Yeah, new coach, going to want his guy. The Falcons are a very talented team. To be honest with you, with the talent they have on their roster, they have no business picking it at four.
I like
you don't know when you're going to – you don't know when they're going to be back in this position again. I just think that you grab your guy now. I think the Falcons should just draft Justin Fields, grab their hometown boy, have him learn under Matt Ryan for a year, trade Matt Ryan when he has a year left on his deal, you know, get some value in return for him. You're going to certainly get some value for whether it be a third or second. You're going to get something in return for Matt Ryan.
Yes, you are.
And then you use that to build on your future core, but now you have your quarterback waiting in the wings in Justin Fields. Makes sense.
It's not going to be like a Jordan Love situation where he's going to be like waiting for – you don't know when he's going to come.
I mean, Matt Ryan isn't on the level of Aaron Rodgers, right? So, like, no. I think that there's also a reason why they're picking third overall. Matt Ryan is certainly still a very capable quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers is in a situation where he's still playing like the best quarterback in the league, still taking his team to the playoffs. Yeah. And to be honest with you, they're lucky. They lucked out. I think they traded up to get Jordan Love.
Yes, they did.
So, like, I think that they lucked out with that pick. I think that it was a situation that did not make sense. It only made sense if you knew you were moving on from Aaron Rodgers in the future. Now, this situation is totally different. Matt Ryan is long removed from his MVP type caliber days, right?
And
he's no longer that guy.
And he's long removed from his Super Bowl days of 4 years ago, especially since now they're picking fourth overall.
Exactly. So have him learn, have Justin Fields learn under Matt Ryan for a year. You got your quarterback in the waiting. You trade Matt Ryan. That's the smart thing to do. Their new GM, that's what I would do. I would draft Justin Fields, have him learn from Matt Ryan, and then trade Matt Ryan after next season, and then get something in return for him. I think that's the smartest thing to do.
And they also have, like, I love their receiver core because they have, like, again, Julio is just leading that receiver core right now, but they have Ridley. I love Russell Gage because I have a soft spot for receivers who, like, don't get a ton of opportunities, but when they do, they really step up. And yeah. Russell Gage is on that list for me. I love guys like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the opportunity just meeting them square in the face. And I think it's up to them if they're going to take it. Honestly, I think that the Falcons need to draft Justin Fields, prepare for the future, because Matt Ryan, the fact of the matter is, this is his last contract with the Falcons, let's be honest. It's not like we don't know how long – guy's 37 years old. We don't know how long he's going to play anymore, right? Yeah. You're at that point, we're banking on almost 40-year-old quarterback to – you know, keep leading us. So just prepare for the future. You know, when it's time to move on, it'll be time to move on, and you'll have your quarterback in the waiting who's learned from Matt Ryan. So then you'll go from there.
The Chiefs kind of modeled this situation because they had Alex Smith, like, in his late 30s or so. They traded up to get Football Jesus, let him learn for a year, put him in the last game, and then all of a sudden, just he took off.
The thing is, people don't realize is, right, you have to – it's a beautiful mold to go after. Some guys fumble it, right? I mean, because if you figure, if you're a new coach and you come in there, you're going to want your guy.
Yep.
Right? You know, exactly. You'll come in eventually. Right. Originally, you'll come in and you'll be like – you'll say all the right things about the current starting quarterback, but eventually it's all going to come down to you wanting your guy, right? When Jack Taylor first was with the Cincinnati Bengals, he – had Andy Dalton, and he said all the right things about Andy Dalton being so good. Then he benched the guy on his birthday for Ryan Finley, right? So, like, it's one of those things where it's like, at the end of the day, if you have an opportunity to grab your guy, you grab your guy. This is Arthur Smith's opportunity to grab his guy. He's staring at him right in the face, build with him, grow with him. If you got somebody else as your guy, you grab him. Either way, you draft your quarterback right here, Arthur Smith, because let me tell you something that's going to happen if you don't. If you don't do it, you'll go on, and Matt Ryan will be your quarterback, and you guys may have a struggling season again. Now, your job is in question because people are wondering, did we hire the right guy? You don't know. Listen, just as easy as it is, you know, as hard as it is to, you know, get to the playoffs, it's just as hard to, you know, get a top five overall pick. It's just hard because teams in the league, you know, are, you know, it's just a toss-up. You just never know. It's a game of chances. You really don't know. So at the end of the day, like, get your guy while you can. Don't bank on, oh, we'll get our guy next year, because then at that point you're trading capital for the future years to move up and grab your guy. Listen, grab Justin Fields. He's one of the best prospects in this draft.
Top five.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you call it for what it is. So Justin Fields should be the pick.
Yeah, so three, like, quarterbacks one and two, Lawrence and Wilson, they've been set for a little bit. Three through five have just been, like, kind of shuffled kind of throughout this whole process, whether it be Mac Jones or – Trey Lance or Justin Fields. It's kind of been like shuffled throughout this whole process. And
if I had to make a
prediction,
if I had to make a prediction today, I personally would see it going Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Ja'Marr Chase, top five picks.
Yeah. Because it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing, how far do you think Pitts falls then?
I think Pitts falls to the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins draft him and do a double tight end set with Mike Gesicki and Kyle Pitts.
That is absolutely filthy with him.
Yeah.
I think – so how much – I didn't really watch Tua much in college, but how much did Tua – if the Dolphins are even sold on him, how much did Tua use his tight ends in college?
I mean, not really much. Bama really didn't have too much. They didn't really do that. He used the receivers, but – got to also realize he had the best offensive line in the country, right? He had the best offensive line in the country. He was able to sit back and just throw guys like Jalen Waddle. He was throwing guys like Jalen Waddle.
Devontae Smith. That's why I'm not sold on Henry Ruggs.
Henry Ruggs. And I forgot the other guy's name. There's one more other guy. Jerry Jeudy he was thrown to, right? So, like, you know, I don't know if I told you, I'm also a Crimson Tide fan as well. So, you know, I watched a ton of Bama. That's why I'm able to be very critical of Mac Jones.
Yeah, I just, like – the whole Mac Jones comes across as kind of a golden boy, where it's like he's been able to coast and be that pocket passer because the Alabama line gives him a pocket. So when you transfer him from an incredible system in Alabama to an NFL team who's picking in the top five, it might be a little bit of a reality check for Mac Jones.
Right. I personally don't think Mac Jones is worth a first round pick. Sorry, not first overall. I wouldn't draft him in the first round, but he's going to get drafted in the first round because it's a quarterback driven league and they need every quarterback in this league to, you know, be the next so-and-so, the next John Elway, the next Tom Brady, the next Drew Brees, the next Peyton Manning, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I don't understand why we're talking more about Mac Jones than we're talking about Justin Fields. It's kind of alarming. I'm not understanding why that is the case, but Justin Fields is much better than him.
I think it's honestly, it's kind of the publicity that Mac Jones got at Alabama because he's been, he's been throwing to guys forever. And his receivers are obviously, I mean, Devontae Smith, I mean, do you think Devontae Smith's going to pan out? I don't see why.
I think it all depends where he goes, right? Because we see a lot of fast guys or a lot of talented receivers sometimes they don't always pan out in the NFL right away, you know, with certain teams because I think it also matters who you go to. I think if Devontae Smith is matched up with an offensive mastermind, I'm just throwing some names out as an example. Guys like Sean McVay, guys like Andy Reid, those guys know how to use offensive players. It doesn't matter who they are. They'll put you in the best position to succeed. Sometimes you get coaches who want receivers to fit a certain mold, and that's not really their strong suit, so it doesn't always pan out.
Yeah. I saw this quote about Devontae Smith not too long ago where I think Chris Greer, the Dolphins GM, was talking about Mac Jones, and he said – He may be 166, but 15 of those pounds are in his nuts.
That's a,
the ultimate competitor.
Yeah, that's what you want in your receiver. That's what you want in a guy you're picking, you know, in the first round. You want a guy that's confident in his ability and who's able to, you know, put it all together. So I certainly believe in Devontae Smith, but I also think with his particular skill set, it's all dependent upon where he lands, right? I think you have to, for him to try to use him like in a situation like as if he's like a Julio Jones or, you know, one of these top, that's just really not his skill set, right? But yeah, you want him to open up the field. You want him to really allow him to use his speed, because that's what makes him a game changer, is his speed.
And I'm also like kind of apprehensive to like go after that deep threat at fifth overall, because they often
end up
a little bit of John Ross PTSD, a little bit. Also a little bit of Henry Ruggs PTSD. It's like a lot of teams, and the Raiders are the crown jewel example of this, where they reach for a guy that's like, they pay less attention to his highlight reel, and they just like,
yeah,
they show up at the combine, watch his 40 time, then go home and just grab a beer.
Yeah, I think that there is a need for speed, obviously, in the league. I think that there are certain guys who are just can't miss prospects. I still think the world of Henry Ruggs. I think the world of Devontae Smith. I think he's a little bit on the smaller side, but I'm not going to knock him for that, right? I think that his skill set could still work in the league. I think that people are just bored and they need stuff to talk about, so that's what they're talking about right now.
That's why I think mock drafts have gotten so crazy, especially the ones on like PFF. They're just like, people are bored and they don't want just like, oh, it's the same mock draft again. They're just like, they're just making that one crazy pick just to get people talking. That's what Kyrie right. does. That's what McShay does. There's a couple of other writers that do that.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
want to get people talking. And get
yeah, I'm so over mock drafts. I'm tired of seeing them.
This is the first, because I've tried to find like a website for like mock drafts and shit for fucking years. And yeah. then all of a sudden, because every website I've gone to has just been so shitty and the text
right.
like that. All of a sudden, PFF pops up with a perfect system. All of a sudden, you're great at into a mock draft that's honestly
right.
pretty good.
Right, right, right. PFF is definitely does have an awesome mock draft simulator. So they're one of the more accurate ones. Some of them are absolutely crazy. Like I think I saw a mock draft today that had Tevin Jenkins out of the first round. I'm just like, I don't. Okay, I think we're getting to a little bit of the crazy season now, personally.
Yeah, it's because people are like this. I've been involved in the debate a little bit, Houdet Nation on Facebook. That's been like my group of mm-hmm. like debate. You've gotten a lot of shout outs in that. People have been because Team Chase, like you've been like, you have been like the king of like team. You have been the guy that people look up to when it's like Team Chase, Malik Wright says that stuff. So yeah, and you've been kind of like accurately predicting like who's going to go and like, to like free agency and stuff like that. And so people are like, yeah, Malik Wright's been right here. So who says he's not right with Jamar Chase?
Yeah, no, it's going to be, it's funny. A buddy of mine texts me. He's like, hey, get ready for your Twitter to blow up on Thursday. when the Bengals select Jamar Chase. I said, again, you think? He said, yeah, again.
Oh yeah, it's going to.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You know, I've got some awesome friends in the industry, you know, Lindsey Patterson, James Rapine, Jake Lisco.
I was going to have Rapine on, and I think we got lost in communication with emails and stuff.
And Joe Goodberry, you know, those are awesome people that always have supported me and support what I do.
That's so awesome.
They do an awesome job, and I'm, you know, I'm very fond of those people. They do a kick-ass job.
No, it's absolutely fantastic what they do, because people looked at like Goodberry's Twitter's blown up, your Twitter's blown up, because people like, people talk on your Twitter. They talk on Goodberry's Twitter. They just, I mean.
Yeah, I think people want to be informed. I think that's the biggest thing. People want to be informed. And you have a lot of talking heads who just talk sometimes, right? You got people who just talk sometimes. I mean, I don't really, I like to talk when it means something, you know, when I'm saying something that's absolutely meaningful. Yeah. Or like the same thing when it came to free agency, I only talked on stuff that I actually knew about. So, and the same goes for the NFL draft. So, it'll be very, very exciting. I'm excited for the entire Bengals fan base. I'm excited for the entire community, because Thursday night should be an awesome time for us. This has been an awesome offseason, talking about with new uniforms and
yeah,
you know, so on and so forth. It's going to be an awesome time in Paul Brown Stadium.
And we get to see So do you know, we get to see like the jerseys on display. Goodell's going to hug, whether it's Chase or Sewell, probably Chase.
Time to take a little break and thank one of our newest sponsors, Canon Sunglasses. Your outdoor experiences could be better, clearly better. Canon sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. Using Japanese optics, Canon lenses are clearer, lighter, and stronger than other lenses and are nearly impossible to scratch. With frames handcrafted in Italy, Canon sunglasses elevate your experiences outside with a degree of clarity beyond your wildest imagination. Use the exclusive code CanonCast15 at Canon.com to receive 15% off on your first pair. That's KAENONCAST15. Canon, clearly better. The Japanese optics, they make Canon's lenses clearer, lighter, and stronger than the other lenses. That's a lot of adjectives. You can't deny that. They're Italian-made frames. They only make polarized lenses, and they're very, very hard to scratch. You can't fuck them up. I'm irresponsible, which means I'll come up with fucked up sunglasses every now and then. Who the fuck knows? They design and manufacture. Canon designs and manufactures our high-performance eyewear to be clearly better than any sunglasses you've tried before. Use the code CANON15 and use this code to receive 15% off on your first pair of Canons. And if you want to bet on how hard it is to scratch up those damn sunglasses, you should check out one of our longest sponsors, Bet Online. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline.ag has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place to be for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline.
Do you know if Chase or Sewell, do you know if they're going to be at the draft?
Jamar Chase will be.
Jamar Chase will be?
Yeah. I tagged my guy Jake. I said, Jake, it's time for you to interview him when he comes through for the media. Talk to him about, coming to Cincinnati. So.
Yeah. And so I was watching Zach Taylor did a press conference earlier today. I think I heard Rapien there too. But yeah. Taylor was seemingly talked more – He talked with the cadence that he was going to draft Chase. Like, I think he had one question asked to him about Sewell, and the way he answered the question, the way he worded it was like, he's going to be a great player for another team. Because one thing he said caught my eye a little bit, or caught my ear a little bit. He said, I can certainly see why he's going to be a top pick.
Yeah, I think he said he can certainly see why he put himself in a position to be a top pick. I think Zach Taylor is the king of coach speak personally.
Yes,
he's the absolute. He's the king of coach speak. So he's very, but I think that when you're around it long enough, I've spoken with coaches before and things of that nature. You kind of like can read between the lines of certain things that they say if you're actually just listening with effective listening. He said, Jamar Chase is, we know we're going to get a premier player at five. And then in the next breath, he says, Jamar Chase is a premier player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's things of that nature. But I don't think that the Bengals have necessarily hid who they were targeting either at five either. So, I think that all the tea leaves, right down to the Riley Reiff guy, right? Riley Reiff signing. When they signed Riley Reiff, that opened up the entire draft board. Remember, they signed Riley Reiff. I'm not sure if people know this, but they signed Riley Reiff with the intentions of thinking Penei Sewell wasn't going to be there. They were targeting Jamar Chase a while ago. So when they signed, because you got to remember who was ahead of us before. So,
Dolphins.
They didn't know what the Dolphins were going to do. They didn't know what the Falcons were going to do. The Falcons did a lot of homework last year on offensive tackles, right? So they had to prepare as if, you know, they weren't going to draft Penei Sewell. They didn't think that Penei Sewell was going to fall to them. Then all of a sudden trades start happening. Now it's like, okay, we're definitely staying at five. We're definitely going to land one of our guys, and so on and so forth. But this has been – Ja'Marr Chase has been the focus for quite some time.
Yes. I think ever since – yeah, ever since people were thinking that the Bengals – or the Dolphins were going to take Sewell at three, I was –
in the Bengals. That. And that's when they courted a 32-year-old tackle to Jeff Rubies, and they gave him the pitch of a lifetime to join the Cincinnati Bengals. That's why it was so imperative. That's why they talked about the importance of signing a guy like Riley Reiff. It was so important to get him under contract because they needed to. They needed to get him under contract because you don't know – they're looking at it like, okay, we're not going to be able to grab Penei Sewell, so we got to come out of free agency with something, something so that way we don't pigeonhole ourselves. Now they're not pigeonholed. Now they got Riley Reiff, who, regardless of Penei Sewell was even going to be here or not, he's your starting right tackle. You have your starting right tackle. You have your starting left tackle. See all these mock drafts coming out, and people are saying, oh, you know, Penei Sewell is not going to replace Jonah Williams on the left side. Jonah Williams is your starting left tackle. Whoever they draft in the second round will be the starting right tackle in the future and their right guard this year.
So what are the chances? Because Bengals fans are thinking Leatherwood. Leatherwood's going to be there at – what is it 37 or 38?
38.
Okay. What are the chances that Leatherwood is there at 37? He's got accolades. He's an Outland Trophy winner.
It's a crapshoot. I mean, the draft is a crapshoot. It's very hard to predict who's going to be there. I certainly could see a scenario where he is there, but I could also see a scenario where a team likes him and he's not there. I could see a scenario in which he gets picked before us in the second round.
Yep.
Remember, there are still four picks ahead of us in the second round, right? So I think people are thinking like we have the first overall pick again. Like we don't. Right. So when the second round hits, guys, there are still four picks ahead of us. There are still trades that could happen where teams could come up for a premier offensive lineman ahead of us. These are things that we have to be mindful about. So, I hope he's there. I also hope Dylan Raddins is there. I think that'll pronounce his name right.
Raddins or something like that.
Raddins. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his guys and this guy. So, I hope he's there. I hope Alex Leatherwood's there. I hope Samuel Cosmi's there. All great players that I would like to add. We'll see. We'll see.
Yes, we because I think other teams know the Bengals draft. Other teams know the Bengals draft plan. Which seems like the most likely scenario. They draft a wide receiver at five. Other teams know they're gonna draft a lineman in this.
Absolutely.
100%. Absolutely no doubt. So I wouldn't be surprised if one team comes up sneaks in front at like say 36 or 30.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He grabs Leatherwood.
Yeah. You, listen, the Bengals draft – everybody and their mother knows if the Cincinnati Bengals do not draft, which they won't, draft Penei Sewell and they draft Ja'Marr Chase, then they're going to go offensive lineman in the second round. Okay, well, let's jump them. Let's jump them beforehand, right? So don't allow that to happen. Get aggressive if you have to. Move up to – whatever it takes, make sure you grab your guy in the second round because you need to repair this offensive line. It's imperative.
Very badly because, in the beginning of the offseason, I was thinking my plan – was the right side was going to be Joe Tooney. I just now learned how to pronounce that. Joe Tooney and Sewell was going to be the right side of our line. Then all of a sudden, wrenches get thrown in. The Chiefs,
I don't know if you follow my Twitter even while back then, man. I told everybody, I said, the Bengals are not going to sign Joe Tooney for not with the money he's going to come in. And I know we had people come out saying, I got screenshots with his sister and, you know, we're going back and forth and kind of stuff. And I said, listen, the Bengals' philosophy, I think the most they've ever paid a guard was $6 to $7 million, and that was Clint Boylan, right?
Yeah.
Listen, their philosophy has changed, but it has not changed from $6 million to $15 million or, you know, $16 million, whatever it's going to take to get the best offensive lineman, best guard out there. That was never going to be the case. The Bengals were never going to sign that. People are like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I was like, okay. When it comes, it's not me being a party pooper, right? It's me being realistic. The team has not changed their philosophy enough to pay a guard that way. That's why, even if they go out right now and they sign the fact of the matter is the Bengals value tackles more than they value guard, and they'll tell you otherwise. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you got to look at their pattern. Look at their pattern. Look at their history. They've always paid tackles premier money, and they always paid guards money. Yep. So you look at the situation right now. You know, I don't want the Bengals to draft a solely premier guard in the second round. I don't want that to happen.
I think the only guy is Wyatt Davis, who's a mid-second pick.
I don't want that because I know if that guy turns out to be an absolute stud, the Bengals are not going to pay them in 4 years when it's time to pay him. The Bengals don't let that person walk. So yeah. why do we want the Bengals to draft a guard? Us, and I'd rather them draft a tackle that can play the tweener position and play guard rather than draft a strict guard who can't play tackle, because in 4 years, when his contract is up, he's going to ask for top-tier money, and you're going to say no to him, and we're going to be pissed because they're going to let him walk out the door, and it's going to be a repeat rinse cycle.
That's exactly what's going to happen. I also wondered, look 2 years down the line with Jonah Williams, because he's only played 10 games in out of 32 so far. Hmm. One argument I think with Sewell is if Jonah doesn't get re-signed 2-3 years from now, and he's on another team on a cheap-ass one-year $6 million contract or so, the Bengals might have to start over. Again, this is just thinking hypothetically here. But
I think that Jonah Williams is going to be fine. I think Jonah Williams, you don't need him to be an Andrew Whitworth. You just need him to be a capable starting left tackle, right?
Yep.
Not all left tackles in the league are perfect, right? Sometimes you got guys who are just capable, who are good quality starters. I think Jonah Williams has a high ceiling. I just think
I do too.
I think he's been bitten with the injury bug, and I think he's also had the misfortune of playing next to interesting players. He's had the unfortunate, you know, opportunity to play next to some less than spectacular talent. So it's made out to look as if he's not as good as he is because he has to worry about so many things because the other guy next to him might be a schlep. So.
Yeah. And especially since he spends two games a year going against TJ Watt, 2 games a year going against Myles Garrett. I think Miles and Bosa might be, or not Bosa, TJ Watt might be on the right side, but mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that's – do you think Pollock's going to help him out at all?
Oh, my God, yeah. Pollock is the best. Pollock is one of the – is probably top three, in my opinion, best offensive line coaches in the league. And I personally think that we improve exponentially.
Do you think Reef's going to be a good mentor to
– Oh, yeah. And I think Reef is going to bring stability to the offensive line. I think Reef is a very capable starting right tackle. You're going to notice a noticeable difference out there.
I cannot wait.
With Riley Reiff at the right side and Jonah Williams on the left side, and you got Quentin Spain at left guard or right guard, and Xavier Sufilo or somebody else, Hopkins. Yeah. I whoever they add on the offensive line as well, maybe they add a guard in the third round and a tackle in the tweener position in the second round. You can see this offensive line make tremendous improvements, and I'm here for it.
I hope so, because – one thing I noticed with the Bengals every single year, they get bitten by the injury bug at the least deep position.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. You have to hope that it's Jonah Williams, Quentin Spain, Trey Hopkins, Suafilo maybe, and Riley Reiff.
Yeah. Riley Reiff or Alex Leatherwood at the right guard position or whomever. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm excited personally. I don't think that the Bengals fans have realized what the Bengals did the offseason, but I thought it was very strategic and I thought it was very smart. Certainly they could have improved more at the offensive line position, but there's still guys out there, right? Even if they don't pan out with the draft that they want to, Russell Okung's still out there. Like there's Trey Turner still guys. So I'm not saying that they're going to, obviously, but I am saying that there is a what if option. There is a scenario in which this draft doesn't pan out the way they want it to.
Well, so what happened with the Trey Turner talks? Because, like, he was a hot commodity for a little bit, and all of a sudden, no one's talking about him.
Bengals and him had touched base before the Who Trey tweets came out and stuff like that. And people thought, you know, it was like breaking news when I first said it, but that was old news. The Bengals had already touched base with him, and I just think that for his asking price, he was asking for a lot at the time.
Yeah, was he like a five-time Pro Bowler or something like that?
Yeah, he's a five-time Pro Bowler and stuff like that. And I just think that he's coming off of down 2 years, and it's like, okay, you can't see yourself as something. You got to go off of what the proof says, and what the proof says is you put up less than stellar numbers the last two seasons. So this season being your worst. So, you know, maybe they can do something in the future. That's all I got to say about that one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, like, because also, I'm also curious why the Bengals, and this, I have no idea. I'm not in the front office. I'm just a dipshit fan of the podcast. But I'm also wondering why the Bengals didn't sign a single wide receiver. Because now they only have 5 wide receivers on their depth chart. I mean, like me personally, at the beginning of the offseason, I was all over Curtis Samuel. That was like my guy I wanted to sign. I don't think the Bengals had any ties to him. But I was wondering why the Bengals didn't target a wide receiver. Was it because they wanted Ja'Marr Chase? Was it because they wanted?
No, they targeted a wide receiver. They targeted a specific wide receiver. They targeted.
Oh, they
Kenny Golladay reached out to them. Actually, Golladay said he wanted to play with Joe Burrow because his market wasn't shaping up the way he wanted it to. Then the Giants got wind of it. The Giants, you know, recruited him heavy. They said, "Hey, we want to get you in here. We're offering you a multi-year deal."
He's the highest paid receiver. What's your
Yeah, like $18 million or something like that. Why not take that, right? But before, if the Giants did not swoop him with that offer, Kenny Golladay would be a Bengal today.
Yeah, that would be – I mean, the Giants, like – I like their receiver core. It's just the question mark is Daniel Jones.
Because right. So,
Shepard, Slayton, now Golladay. Now they have John Ross. And,
right. So, I think a scenario is you got to just look at it, right? What have the Bengals tried to do? The last two seasons, they've tried to upgrade the top-tier wide receiver position. They tried to trade for DeAndre Hopkins last year. They tried to, you know, get the deal done with Kenny Golladay this year. So, the draft this year, they got the best wide receiver prospect, some are saying, since Julio Jones staring them right in the face. Oh, by the way, he has – great rapport with your starting quarterback. Oh, by the way, they're great friends. Oh, by the way, he's explosive. Oh, by the way, he's that deep threat. He's everything that you want.
Yeah.
And he's staring at you right in the face. Right? If you answered your right tackle position. So now you have that receiver standing in the face. You draft him.
Yep. And I think I think they're like secretly excited. They can't be too excited because they know it's not certain yet.
Right.
If Burrow and Chase are like, yeah, Ja'Marr, and Chase is like, yeah, Burrow, there's that possibility that some team's going to come up from like Detroit could come up or Denver come up and say, fuck you, and then supplant them and
steal the bank. You never know. It's a game of chances. The game of chances. You never know with the NFL. The NFL is a wild game, especially the draft.
Yeah, because every time I watch Zach Taylor, he's so secretive about the way he talks. He's like, he just gives very basic – I mean, it's not a knock on Zach Taylor. He has to be like secretive about the way he talks.
I think Zach and this coaching staff is extremely misunderstood. I'm actually a huge fan of theirs.
I like Zach Taylor too.
I think they're extremely misunderstood, and I think that they've had some players who were less than bought in around them, who made it very hard for them to implement their system and implement what it is that they're trying to do. And now that they got the right players around them, I think it's going to make do wonders for this football team next year.
It's been a consistent coaching staff because. His philosophy is like, I mean, granted, double the wins from last year, even though it's only four. But you're starting to see some things clicking, and you hope that, like, some finishing pieces come in. Ja'Marr could be – I mean, assuming Ja'Marr comes in, it seems like the likely case.
Yeah, and the coaching staff is much better. This coaching staff now, the way it's orchestrated, is much better than the coaching staff that was orchestrated when he first got here. The defensive line coach, Marion Hobby, I'm super excited about. I'm excited about that Frank Pollock is back. I am head over heels that Frank Pollock.
I think Mixon was like so like jumping for joy and pissing.
And he's the run game coordinator. Because God knows they need to fix their running game. They need to get the running game up and going. And remember when Frank Pollock was the offensive lines coach, Joe Mixon had the AFC rushing title.
Yeah, he also had. Wait, who was the what year did Mixon get the rushing title? Was it 18 or 19? I think it was 18. Okay. I'm trying to think of what their line was back then.
It was Alex Redmond, Christian Westerman, Trey Hopkins, Cordy Glenn at left tackle, and right tackle was Bobby Hart.
I mean, me, Joe Bengals fan, was just like, getting rid of Bobby Hart to me was addition by subtraction.
Yeah, I don't want to talk too bad about him, but I will say that I think that the offensive line will make drastic jumps this year.
Yeah, I absolutely will just – I'm excited with the way things are going to go. I mean, it seems like it's not just going to be a second-round lineman. They're going to get someone, I think, more than likely either the third round or just somewhere randomly on day three.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Bengals are going to attack the offensive line position. They're going to upgrade. And we'll notice that the offensive line is upgraded as well. And I can't wait for it. I'm excited.
Okay. So you're saying, Chase, what specifically besides all the stuff we talked about, besides with, like, the deep threats and the strength. Like, his NFL comp, I actually guess this correctly, was D-Hop. People saying he's, like, kind of a D-Hop guy. He's good at the contested catch. He's a strong guy. He's also got that rapport with Burrow. What else does Ja'Marr Chase offer?
I think Ja'Marr Chase's worth ethic is second to none. I think his work ethic, I think he's going to elevate the receivers in this room. I think that they're going to all push each other, similar to how they did at LSU. Ja'Marr Chase is a quiet leader. He's a guy that, from everybody that I've spoken with, he's a guy that you want to be around. He's a guy that makes you, you know, elevate your game. And he elevated Joe Burrow's game. Joe Burrow elevated his game. They pushed each other. And I could just see a scenario which Ja'Marr Chase elevates Tyler Boyd, especially because Tyler Boyd is ultra-competitive.
Yeah.
And T. Higgins as well. I think that they have the ability to do something very special in the league and could be potentially one of the best trios in football.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we thought was going to happen last year, but then Green just didn't really do much, which is
AJ Green more so got paid by the Cincinnati Bengals in good faith, hoping that he could return back to form, and he just wasn't the same guy. I mean, I kind of figured he would slow down, but it was drastic how bad he looked.
So I wondered this last year, was Green covered by number one corners? Because other teams are probably going to go in thinking, oh, he's still A.J. Green of old.
I mean, after a while, he was getting covered by number one corners for sure. And then after a while, T. Higgins started to see the number one corner coverage.
Yeah.
And A.J. Green just – I think people started to realize, okay, A.J. Green is not the same A.J. Green anymore, so they stopped wasting their number one corner and started putting him on T. Higgins and tried to make that happen. And T. Higgins still played well. He attracted Denzel Ward on him. You know, A.J. Green just isn't the – you know, who knows? Maybe he can blow us all away, go to Arizona and just light it up. But to me, it just seemed like A.J. Green either slowed down one or he was making business decisions out there to not, you know, injure, quote-unquote, injure himself. I also think it could be a mental game with him as well.
Yeah, because I think, like, A.J. – it just sucks what happened with A.J. Green because, like, me personally, like, I'm a homer. I wanted him to retire a Bengal. I have his jersey in my closet. He's been
– yeah. Yeah, I've got a chance to meet him a few times. I got a chance to meet the guy a few times. He was always awesome to interview and, you know, talk with and things of that nature. And I wish him nothing but the best. Him, Miranda, his son Ace. I wish him nothing but the best. You know, in Arizona. Hopefully, he rekindles some of that old magic he had in Cincinnati.
Yeah. So where do you think Green, just for nostalgia purposes, where do you think Green ranks as far as all time Bengals receivers?
I think he's, in my opinion, I think him and Chad are very close. I think that A.J. Green, though, was just different. I'm sorry. A.J. Green's number one for me. I think A.J. Green is the best receiver in Bengals history, in my opinion. I think that what he was able to accomplish with the quarterback play that he had, no shot at Andy Dalton, I just think it was just absolutely night and day. It was completely different. I mean, Carson Palmer was Chad's quarterback. So, you know, there's a different level of play in terms of the quarterback play, but A.J. Green just the things he was able to do with the ball and the way he was able to just have so much control over his body. Some of the stuff you just saw him do just wasn't normal. It doesn't matter if A.J. McCarron was throwing him, Jason Campbell was throwing him, Andy Dalton was throwing him, Bruce Gradkowski was throwing him. The guy made plays. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, Chad had the better quarterback of the two.
Yeah. For sure. Chad just had a loud mouth, and he talked a lot. He was very entertaining.
But still, I just think, entertaining to this day, which, by the way, Chad, like, he showed in, like, the Bengals.
That was awesome.
Photo shoot. Hasn't aged a day.
Yeah. No. He looks like he can go out there right now and be the same old Ocho. Now, we certainly know he can't because we saw his last year.
Yeah.
In the NFL. But, no, Chad is definitely a character. He's awesome.
No, he was like one of my favorite players growing up. I think he was the first jersey I ever owned.
Yeah, we're lucky to have him part of the Bengals Nation.
Yes. All right. So I think I don't want to take up too much of your time. Dude, thank you so much for coming on.
For sure.
Couple final thoughts. Again, you're thinking Ja'Marr Chase at number five. If you had to put money down right now, Falcons at four, whose name are they turning in?
That's tough. Give me Justin Fields.
Okay. That's actually who I'm thinking too. So basically the Bengals have just an embarrassment of riches at five. Again, they can't go wrong. It seems like they're going Chase because it'll
– All the conversations I've had and everybody that I've talked to in around that building, I would be absolutely stunned if Ja'Marr Chase wasn't the pick.
Yeah. And I think more than likely he'll be available at five. I think he's the player that's most likely to be available at five. Again, it's like not much of a difference between – Chase's likelihood, Sewell's likelihood, Pitts's likelihood. It seems like they'll all be available at five.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think we'll look back and we'll be all very happy after draft night.
Yes, it's going to be fantastic to watch. And again, this debate has just made me, at times I've just been like, I will be disappointed if Ja'Marr Chase is a Bengal. I'll be disappointed if Kyle Pitts is a Bengal. I'm like, I can't have that mentality as a Bengals fan.
Right.
I want to root for my guy.
Right. Right. No, it does not matter at the end of the day, right? When you take yourself out of the debate, and I know some people still trying to make it a debate, and they're even still trying to include Kyle Pitts, and I'm just like, it's a tired argument at this point. But I just think that we all have to take a look at it from the outside looking in. They're getting a great player at five, yeah, regardless, right? And, you got to just be excited for the direction of this football team, be excited for the new threads, be excited for the city. It's an exciting time to be a Bengals fan.
Yeah. So here's a question, because the Chiefs are just ridiculous right now. What's your timeline for the Bengals being competitive in the playoffs? What do you think? When do you think they can do it?
Not this year, but next year. I think the Bengals can make the playoffs this year potentially. It'll take a couple breaks, but I think they have the quarterback to do it, and I certainly think I expect this defense to take leaps and bounds this year. But competitive, give me one more year.
Yep.
Competitive in the playoffs, one more year. And I'd be honest with you, I think that the Bengals, the way they're building that roster, they're building it for major success.
I think because I looked at the free agency signings with like Hendrickson and Ogunjobi, and it seems like they're not trying to go for like a blow you away defense, just a competent defense to stop.
I think people are – Ogunjobi is one of my favorite signings. Ogunjobi was played out of position with the Cleveland Browns. He's a three tech, right? He is a three tech, and he's dominant too when he plays three tech. The guy has wrecked us a few games as well.
He's also Ogunjobi's been on a line that's overshadowed by like Myles Garrett and now Jadeveon Clowney, and
right. I think you're going to see a noticeable difference between Larry Ogunjobi. Sign him on the one-year deal, hoping he has a good year bringing him back and stuff like that. I think we should see improvements from everybody on that defensive line, especially with Marion Hobby. I definitely expect the Bengals to produce a lot of sacks this season, a lot.
So do they play a 5-2 or a 4-3?
I think he said Lou wants to play a multiple. So
okay. That line's going to be Hubbard, DJ Reader, Ogunjobi, Trey Hendrickson. And maybe a DT in between there at some point.
And, you want another pass rusher. They do. I know they are targeting another pass rusher as well. They got to get another pass rusher in the draft.
Do you have any idea, like, what those names are? Or?
Names that they're targeting? I don't want to say names that I've heard that they're targeting because I don't want to stop any – I don't want anything to come in between, you know, a guy falling to them. Like, last year I knew that they extremely coveted it, Logan Wilson. And they were praying that Logan Wilson fell to them. Like they were so scared that he wasn't going to fall to them. He was outside of Joe Burrow. He's probably their most coveted draft pick last year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know that.
And I correctly guessed Akeem Davis-Gate last year.
Yeah. Yeah. But when they drafted Logan Wilson, that they exploded. They were hyped. They were excited. And, I got wind of that beforehand. So I didn't say much. And I'm kind of in a similar situation this year. I will just say this though. There is some prospects out there that you guys want to keep your eyes on, especially I would just say look at schools like Pitt in Louisiana Tech.
Okay. I will absolutely – I'll keep that in mind. Hint, hint, hint.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, dude. This has been an excellent conversation.
Awesome, man.
Do you have any social medias I can find you on?
Obviously follow me on Twitter, Wright Report, Instagram, Wright Report. Follow my company, more importantly, my company, TWSN. TWSN, we have a mobile app, TWSN. We have the website, TWSN.net. We just got a partnership going with USA Today, so we're super excited about that. Got a lot of awesome stuff happening, and, you know, it's a great time. So I'm happy that I could be the Bengals, unofficial Adam Schefter of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I'm excited for it. We're excited for the future. And like I said, I think that this team is on the up and up, and we have a lot of good things to look forward to. But Alex, you're doing something great here, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Dude, thank you so much. Like I've been like, I was trying to, I had my buddy Tyler has a connection at Cincy Jungle, and I was going to try and like get into like sports writing and stuff like that. And I think his buddy Nathan works at Cincy Jungle. So I'm like trying like, still send him some articles and stuff like that. I wrote just for fun, I wrote a Why Your Team Sucks article for the Bengals. Have you ever read those?
I don't think I ever have.
It's Drew McGarry. He works for Defector. He used to be on Deadspin.
Okay.
He writes a yearly roast series called Why Your Team Sucks. It's like one of my favorite things in the world.
Right.
One for fun.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was so much fun. And I mean, it's just all in good fun. I'm a huge Bengals fan, but like part of being a Bengals fan for me is like having a sense of humor about when
absolutely. I mean, you know, growing up in Jersey, I've heard it all. You bungles, bungles, bungles. Yep. So like, you know, kind of get used to it at this point. You're like, ah, okay. Comes with the territory.
It's all good. So yep, draft is on Thursday. Again, rounds 2 and 3 on Friday. I'm trying to go to Cleveland, but I don't know if I can get off work soon enough, but it's going to be fun. I think I'm going to try to live stream this on one of our sponsors, Locker Room. I'll plug the ad when I can. But dude, Malik, thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to release the episode. I can't wait to tell people about it. Any parting thoughts? Any say before the draft?
I had nothing. Go Bengals. Who day? We're excited. Let's have a great draft, man.
It's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait. I just can't wait for the debate to be over. I can't wait.
It's over in my mind.
What?
That's it. It's over in my mind already. I just think people at this point need something to talk about until Thursday. So they're just talking about it.
Yeah. Still. They're just like, just chirping at each other. And we're just like team Sewell, team Chase. I'm just like, I'm team Jacob. Shut up.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, Malik, again, this has like been like my third goodbye, but dude, thank you so much for coming on.
For sure.
Recording here, but dude, again, thank you so much. And
for sure, man. I gotta get your socials, man. I like what you're doing here. Do you follow me already?
I believe so. Let me check real
just
quick.
Just shoot me a DM. My DM should be open. I'll follow. Give you a follow.
Yeah. Just a second. If I don't follow you already, I know my podcast does. Boom, doom. Gotcha.
Awesome. Awesome, right, man.
My Twitter just followed you. I think my podcast Twitter feed already followed you. So
awesome, yeah, man. Well, keep up the good work and what you're doing, my man. Keep it up, and I'll join you on here anytime you need. Just let me know,
dude. Thank you so much, man. We'll have you. You want to come back on, say in like June or July or like a season three, something like that?
No worries at all, man. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Where are you based out of, by the way?
Jersey, but I'm moving to Cincinnati next summer. Not this summer, next summer.
No shit, man. Are you coming like for like Bengals games at all, or?
Yeah. Definitely, I'm coming for Bengals. I'm gonna be out there a lot actually, because I'm gonna be buying a place. So.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah, we'll link up, dude. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we got to get together. We got to get together for sure. You're a good dude, man.
Thank you so, dude. You too, man. It's fucking awesome, dude. So,
yeah, man. I appreciate it.
One more thing before we go off the air. Fuck you, COVID-19. We like the Bengals. Why, man?
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.